Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broder, but joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing? What's going on?
I'm better now that I've just watched you absolutely decimate your knee against the table right before we start the podcast. He's an agony, gentlemen and ladies.
I hate Pete Donaldson. He's got a really slick, amazing podcast studio. And one of his other podcasts is bloody recording in there. So he's like, oh, Chris, here's a cupboard. Come inside. And we're like hunched over a table.
It's not our fault.
It's the trains. Don't blame
the
trains.
We're not on tomorrow, so I have to change the recording day.
Came in and
see?
I smashed my fucking kneecap on the table. I can't work under these conditions.
No,
I can't do this.
I can't either.
I don't deserve this. I'm a YouTuber. I'm better than this. I'm not. Anyway, how are you doing though, Pete?
I'm good, yeah. I'm keeping well. Trying to keep healthy. Although I did start the day by eating just the remnants of my Chinese last night. That's no way to start a day, is it really, Chris? Just eating a lot of Chinese that you ate the night before.
That was, I remember when we first started doing this podcast years ago, it would always start with you being like, oh, I've just found a mouldy pasta in my cupboard and I've just
and
had
I'm
that for lunch.
Yeah.
It's like a savage.
I hate wasting food, but also I seem to really like food poisoning. So it's kind of like, you know, two double headed of the coin kind of thing.
Yeah, that might be why you're always ill. It might be something to do with that.
It really is.
I had a really nice back massage the other day.
Oh, yeah,
actually,
nice.
No, it wasn't nice. It was extremely painful.
Right, okay. So have you decided whether it was good or bad?
I've had two massages since being back.
Right,
so
okay.
The first one was very nice.
It was pleasant.
People might think I'm like this guy who just walks around getting massages. I'm not.
I don't think anyone thinks that. Why would they think that?
Because I remember I talked about a similar story last year on Trash Tastes, and I do like a good massage. As someone who's always like hunched over editing stuff or typing something, my shoulders are messed up, so I always try and get
some massage where I can. The first one,
they're very, very useful.
The first one, this trip was wonderful. The second one, I asked for like a deep... They were like, good. Do you want a relaxing massage or a deep cleansing massage?
And
I
was like, never.
Deep massage. And I'd never had it before.
Okay.
And, you know, it was this big, burly woman. I'm not sure where she's from. Might be like Hungary or somewhere or Bulgaria. She's really nice. And, you know, she was quite large.
Yeah.
And I was laying down and she put all her body weight on my back.
Oh, wow.
And it went crack in a way that I didn't know your back could
nearly
do.
Nearly ended me.
Well, it... She literally, it was really peaceful, like room, massage, and it was like nice ethereal music playing.
In space, then, no one can hear you scream.
Well, and you're sort of face down right in this thing, your face is looking at the floor.
Right.
And I just hear this mouth come close to my ear. She's like, did it hurt when I crack her back? And I was like, yes! And I had to be like, no!
I don't know how they can get so physical and do quite so much. Because like I've had massages before, and I'm just done for the next 2 days. I'm sure it's good for me, but I'm in agony for the next 2 days. And I'm like, you could really do someone a mischief.
Well, yeah,
with the wrong move.
I mean, halfway through this massage, she was like doing this horrible thing. Like, she got like her thumb and like wiggled it into my back, and it was like a knife going in. And she could tell I was really tense. She was like, try to relax.
When
I break her back. And I was like, this is awful.
I've had one where like they're pulling like carving a chicken on a Sunday roast, pulling my shoulder blades off my back, like really, really hard. So it's like miles away from the actual surface of the back. It's just astonishing work, and it's really painful.
Well, I thought I was going to come out of this massage in a wheelchair. So I'm, at one point, when things were cracking, and, but you know, I came out. And I actually felt quite good. The next few days, I was good. And then my back went back to being rubbish.
Right,
again.
Okay, yeah.
So I need another massage soon. Need to get her in to crack my back in half. Good God. Yeah. We've got a story this week from Andrew from the Sunshine Coast. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. 1 month ago, I moved to Gifu Prefecture as an ALT on the JET programme. Gifu, lovely mountainous prefecture right in central Japan. We went there on Journey Across Japan 2. That's where we had the 1,000-year-old log bath that Joey loves so much. It's a nice place. Me and the other ALTs in the area were invited over to one of the Japanese teachers' places for a barbecue. As I was lounging around, sipping on a can of Strong Zero, some random elderly Japanese man approached me and asked me in a rehearsed English accent, do you like skiing? I replied, I've never skied before, but I am interested. He interjected to ask me if I wanted some skis. Before I could give an answer, he disappeared under the veil of darkness and returned with two sets of skis from the 90s. He said, this is for you. The man then walked me down to our car and put them in our car. Now, see, now we've done this, the man disappeared again, then came back to the car with a surfboard. It's just like trying to get rid of all his worldly possessions. It's like a challenge. Can you trick the foreigner into getting rid of all your rubbish? I told him I have no interest in a surfboard, and he dejectedly removed it from the boot of the car. I thanked him for the skis, and the elderly man slipped once back into the night. In hindsight, he was probably the Japanese teacher's grandfather, but it's more interesting to think of him as some sort of serendipitous Santa who gives skis to random passers-by.
It's the ski man. He's just, you know, here comes the ski man.
Ski course. He just
comes around and gives the skis.
Andrew.
That's incredible.
Sunshine Coast.
Just.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Giving people skis.
It must have been a bit awkward.
Skis and love.
I don't want the surfboard. You fucking what?
You've really got to be into... Because like, they're quite bulky items, aren't they? That's not
small.
Maybe the guy just had a bit of storage problems. He just wanted to get rid of it. To some idiot.
I mean, he's travelled all the way from Australia just to have an old man load his car up full of skis and surfboards. I mean, coming from Australia, I thought I'd be a surfer. That's a massive stereotype there. Like that interaction. It's a heartwarming interaction.
If the net result of you chalking to an old man is that you now own skis, I think it's a beautiful
skis
thing.
Skis from the 90s.
It's skis from
the 90s.
Did they
work?
As well.
You know, skis are pretty...
They'll all be brittle, won't they? They'll be like they'll probably have asbestos in them and they'll be very, very brittle because they've been kicking around for ages in someone's loft. Very interesting. I mean, he's got to have that because I imagine if you have skis or a surfboard, it's in your basement and it's behind a load of stuff. So I think if he took a very short amount of time to arrive with the surfboard and the skis, I reckon he just kind of had it ready. He's like, I've got to get rid of them. I just have to get rid of them. I'm sick of looking at them.
Well, I mean, Giffey's a very remote place, and it was probably like, there's no like tipping, like no place you can like ditch stuff, like no rubbish waste disposal sites. So the next best thing is wait for an Australian man to come along,
yeah,
and just give them to him under the guise of it being a gift. So, trying to give a sack of rubbish.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is a traditional.
Do you like Japanese. Absolute trash? Do you like absolute? Do you like old packets of bolognese? Do you like that?
Traditional that Japanese.
So it's traditional Japanese. not omakase, was it? Omiyagi. It's just a load of empty bins, bin packets.
The one bit Andrew left out the story is whether or not he used the skis, and if
I know,
they were good.
And that's how I became a scratch skier. That's how I entered the Olympics on these skis that an old man gave me.
They were magic skis. Let us know, Andrew, in a follow-up email. Were the skis any good?
Yeah.
Did you use them? Did you put them to good use? What's going on in Japan this week, though, Mr. Dawson? What is the story of the week?
It's big news. Big news, Chris. Big news. You know, like we talked about last week about those really unappealing, unappetizing coach trips across Japan with everyone wearing masks all the time and all that shit. After 2 years of eating in complete silence, children in Japan have been given permission to talk to their classmates over lunch as COVID cases in the country continue to fall. Basically, all you've heard throughout the pandemic in primary and middle school is just cutlery, meat and crockery and complete silence. They must observe mokushoku, or silent eating. I don't know what part is moku and what part is shoku.
Moku means silence, shoku means eating. I've never heard this word before.
Mokushoku.
I know chinmoku means silence.
Ah, chinmoku.
So if we take moku from that, combine it with shoku.
I like it.
Shokuji meal.
I
you
like
get mokushoku.
There you go.
Which I'm going to look up now and make sure we've not just created a word.
Mokushoku. Some schools have abandoned the code of silence amid concern that's affecting the social and educational development of children as young as six. It's true though, isn't it? That must be quite difficult getting a lot of six-year-olds to sit together in their classrooms eating and just not talking. That's bizarre.
Where's the fun in that?
Are you allowed to say itadakimasu and all that shit? There's all kinds of there's all kinds of processes you've got to go through before you eat a meal. So interesting.
I'm trying to look up this word mokushoku.
Mm.
Mokushiroku, that means revelation, book of the Bible.
Yeah.
And moku means tacit. Wait, is this a real word?
It's like one of those kind of like, not onomatopoeic, but just one of those kind of vibey words that someone's come up with.
Mokudoku.
Mokudoku.
Reading silently.
Oh, okay. Mokudoku. I like that.
Where is mokushoku?
Mokushoku.
I find this word.
Well, I mean, it sounds about right though, doesn't it? Mokushoku.
It does sound right.
Well, so all of the prefectures are kind of now relaxing their rules about kids talking in, during lunchtime.
Wonderful, wonderful.
A lot against the wishes of a lot of parents, has to be said. A lot of parents are still scared of infection, so they hope that they kind of continue, a lot of them. So that's kind of interesting.
It has been nice being in the UK where we've kind of moved on a bit. I suppose you could go both ways. You know, Japan's had much lower cases. And because Japan's population is a lot older, they're a lot more wary of sort of COVID, right? It's exponentially more affected. But it has been really refreshing being in the UK and just... It's sort of everyone's forgotten about
broadly,
for better or worse. It's nice after 2 years to just like not think about COVID stuff. And
well, it's like every out of 10 people on a train, there'll be two people, maybe one person wearing a mask.
You know, it has to be a point where you have to realise you have to live with it. Like China had no cases for 2 years after that initial spike.
Yeah,
and then they had it, and it hit them full force. If you don't let it pass through your population, and it's something you just cannot stop. You can lock down, but eventually it'll come back and it'll work its way through the population, whether you like it or not. It's just something you have to try and just get out of the way.
But
I don't know. But then it's probably a good thing I'm not the Prime Minister of Japan. Just let it go. Oh, let everyone get infected. It's great. But I know it's more to do with the number of beds that are free in hospital wards.
We can be selfish when we're healthy. I think that's the message here. But yeah, you're right.
But I heard a lot of Japanese kids were actually suffering from really bad... And I don't know if this is true. Someone told me this. I need to verify it. But they said that a lot of Japanese kids were suffering really bad heat stroke issues because they're playing like PE and stuff in the sun. And it's, you know, Japan's formidable in the summer.
Yeah.
And they're like wearing masks and they can't like breathe.
Breathe properly,
right.
The mask
in the heat
of the
afternoon sun when you're like, 42 degrees.
You can't do PE with a mask on, surely not.
Well, I mean, I go to the gym with a mask on. And that's like,
what?
It's like you can run half the distance.
That's crazy.
It's pretty hard. And it's like,
that's absolutely insane.
Combine my poor level of fitness with having asthma with a hot gym and a mask and running.
That's terrible for you. That's like kind of restricted oxygen.
It is, yeah. Like,
you're not gonna get swole with all that, with a lack of oxygen going to your muscles. You're gonna get stitches.
All right.
Incredible. Wow.
I'm just so tough that I can get through that. Let me look it up though. Japanese kids heat stroke. Not something you want to look up on your phone. I can't say anything about it. My friends were lying. Oh no, it doesn't say be careful of heat stroke caused by wearing masks. Yeah.
Right, okay, I see.
It probably is an issue. Probably someone's...
It probably is an issue.
Probably made it a
probably
big deal.
That's why you'd make a great statesman, Chris. It's probably an issue.
I'd at least be as good as Boris Johnson. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what goes on there. Mm. Japanese kids.
Yeah.
Having lunch. Glad
Japanese
they can speak again.
Japanese kids having their lunch.
Let them have their lunch. Let them have their conversation. Let them have their fun. We'll be back
their cake.
In just a moment, guys, with the fax machine, your comments, stories and questions.
Slammy noise.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's
pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners?
Ooh, we got a message from Javier from Colorado. Hello, Crispy Chicken Chris and Peppermint Pete. I like it. I like it. I don't mind a bit of peppermint. I'm Javier from Colorado. My question is are there any wacky or exciting places where people can hike or climb in Japan besides Mount Fuji? And if the opportunity came up, would you guys conquer these steps? Cheers, Javier from Colorado, a man who probably appreciates the Rockies, probably appreciates strolling around Boulder, probably appreciates, you know, just getting out, up and out there. That's not something that I enjoy or endure very often, but when I do, I'm like, oh, I feel like I've achieved something today.
I mean, would you associate climbing with being wacky?
I
could give you a good climbing place. I can't give you a good wacky climbing place.
You're doing clown shoes.
Do it
in a wetsuit.
The mode of transport you choose while climbing. Kamikochi is a really nice place. It's not wacky, but it is beautiful, and I've been meaning to go there. It's basically the Garden of Eden. It's in Japan. It's in
very
Nagano,
beautiful,
and it's a wall. It's like surrounded by mountains. You can only get there through a tunnel on a bus.
Mm.
And from what I understand, it was sort of sealed off from the world for the longest time.
Yeah,
until they built this tunnel, and it's one of the few places in Japan where they haven't cut down any of the trees, and it's not been terraformed or buggered over the last sort of 2,000 years until they got access to it in the 20th century. And everyone I know who's gone there, they say it's like a revelation. It's like their favourite thing. It's Kamikochi. It's in Nagano, and I'm sure as hell going to go there. As part of my plan for the rest of this year, it is to focus on fitness, and that's like full force. It's going to be abroad in a salad. It's for the next 6 months.
A broad bean.
Wait, I'm
just
not
eating broad beans all the time.
Ugh.
Beautiful.
There's going to be no Five Guys for me. There's going to be no anything else.
Right.
It's just going to be salad.
Well, I'm looking at the reviews on Google of Kamikochi. Yuki Wakuta has got in touch with Google. I mean, not really got in touch, just announced in Japanese. And this was translated by Google.
Oh, no.
A one-star review of Kamikochi.
Oh, no.
I was bitten by a wasp near the Kappa Bridge. It was painful. There's only one clinic in Kamikochi, so please be careful. So, look, that seems unfair that you would review the place so poorly when it's just a wasp.
It's just nature.
It's just a nature, mate. Like, it's a nature.
I absolutely love reading Google auto-translated reviews of restaurants. There's so much comedy. I did a video like 2 years ago called like Why You Can't Translate Japanese.
Right.
And I read a lot out there. And I thought about doing a whole series. If you look up like any restaurant, the reviews.
Give me any restaurant.
Well, I don't know. You have to look at one.
Give me a restaurant that you've been to that you didn't particularly enjoy.
McDonald's. Sendai. Just look that up.
Sendai. Right. Would anybody actually review that?
You'll get the English reviews, which will be like, it's amazing, it's a revelation. And then you'll go down to the Japanese and there'll be some scathing ones. And they're the ones where the comedy is.
Yeah.
People that have like, the rapper was too big, or like they'll find like really weird things to rant about, but then auto translate will screw it up.
Yeah, the so one star review of McDonald's Sendai Albidori is the clerk was cleaning while serving customers and was in the way of serving customers. How is it? The store manager, the explanation is miscellaneous. I asked for freshly fried potatoes, but the one that came out was cold potatoes that didn't be completely fried. If you can't do the freshly fried service, please tell me that you can't do it from the beginning. here we go. a little fat with glasses, the clerk of Yin Charagimi, while chatting with each other. I'm serving customers and trying to order. Then I hate it. What is your order? I have heard that. I hope this person alone, I will not go in the future.
I love it. I love how Google just cannot manage to translate
the
Japanese.
The coffee didn't go through my throat because it was dirty from the corner.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It didn't go through my throat. Fantastic. It's good stuff. It's solid stuff, Chris. Solid stuff.
It, in a weird, perverse way, it does teach you about the Japanese language.
Yeah. The coffee was too thin. I'm sorry. There's another one.
It was too thin.
That's
because the word usui, I think, means like weak flavour.
Right,
okay. Maybe Google confused weak flavour with thin, right? So it's like that. That is really interesting because obviously Japanese adjectives have like different meanings. Like omoshiroi means interesting.
Yes.
But it also means funny.
Right,
laugh out loud,
okay.
Funny. And so
I'd admit that when you told a joke that she'd sort of go, interesting. Like she was from the cast of Friends. Like, sharp. If you're not going to add to the fucking vibe, don't say, interesting. It's like, mate.
Interesting.
That doesn't make you interesting. If you go, interesting.
It does not.
Never mind.
We've got one here from a person with no name. This is a rare event.
Is it?
Yeah, no name. So it says, hello, Chris and Pete. I hear full immersion is a really effective way of learning languages.
Oh.
And Google reviews now. So my question for you guys is, are there any good Japanese shows, movies or music you recommend? Thank you for reading the email and hope to hear more speedy Japanese. Well, we've had plenty of speedy Japanese today. We've learned all sorts of interesting things. We know what the word usui means. What's good for learning Japanese? What have you used?
I'd played the Yakuza games. They're pretty. They're pretty good.
I think video games are actually better than like TV and film because they're a lot more interactive.
You're more likely to sort of pause, I suppose, and you can sort of, if you want something repeated, you can just ask the same question again. If it's one of those like RPG kind of ones.
I think I'd say try and get into a game and pick your favourite game, switch it to Japanese, job done. And I think that's way more effective. Like I think a lot of people play like Animal Farm. Is it Animal Farm? Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing.
Animal Farm. George Orwell's Animal Farm.
Four legs good, two legs bad.
That'll be a great game, actually. learn a lot about communist history. Animal Crossing. I know a lot of people that play that in Japanese, and I think that's probably a good way to go.
Nice. Okay.
I never did it. I'm boring. But if I were to go back in time, that's exactly how I would do it.
Yeah, learn a bit of Japanese through Animal Crossing.
But I did use GTA, Great Teacher Onizuka. I watched that.
GTA what?
GTO.
What's GTO?
Great Teacher Onizuka. You know
Great Teacher Onizuka.
It's like an anime series from the 90s. And a manga. It's about a sort of a biker gang thug who becomes a teacher. And it's you've got to watch it. Onizuka. And he does it because it's really shady. He looks at some teenage girls and he thinks, I want a teenage girlfriend. I'll become a teacher.
Oh, right.
And it's like, there's
absolute
no way this would work.
Nonsense.
It's so dodgy.
Absolute wrong'un.
But he's actually all right in the.
He's actually all right. Does it sound all right?
He basically gets through any situation by just punching people in the face or threatening them.
Right. Just like most of the teachers around, eh?
Just like I did when I was hanging out
too. The perfect teachers.
he's sort of a rule breaking character.
Right. Okay.
He gets around problems and solutions. And actually, it's a good series.
Yeah.
It's a good series. It's got a good theme tune. Well, go and watch that. GTA and Yakuza.
Right, okay.
Done.
Good. Great Teacher. Whatever is it? What's it called? Great Teacher.
Onizuka.
Onizuka. Fantastic.
You've got to watch it. That's your homework for
this week.
And for you guys, go and watch it. I think it's on YouTube. Just look it up.
Right,
it's all got subtitles in English, so that'll help. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, for now, to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week to do over again, but for now, no matter where you are, out there in the big wide world, go and watch GTA, go and download Yakuza, not illegally, and we'll see you later in the week to do it all over again, right back here on the Abroad in Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.